All right, friends, thanks. You can make your ways back and be seated. That'd be amazing. We're going to continue worship this morning. I'd love for you to say hello with me to Carter. Carter, here's eighth grader here at Marshall Bible Church. And he's going to help us this morning. He's going to read this morning's teaching text. So we align our ears and our hearts to hearing these words. Carter, thanks.
When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they had laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, and just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. This is the word of the Lord.
Hey, everybody. Let me give voice to what all you're thinking. This weather's awful. It's like that distant uncle that showed up around the holiday and lingered, and you couldn't get rid of the guy. That's what winter's like right now for me, and since I'm not alone, I think over 200 churches closed today in this area, but Mars is open. Glad you're here. And we're trying to, I think we've just sort of sorted who lives within a five-mile radius of the church, right? But glad you're here. I got up to teach last service, and I decided, hey, don't do that. Let's do something else. So we're going to do something else. Is that okay? Yeah. Can we do something else? Let's do an experience rather than like a teaching. And let's allow the text, our experience of the text, to read us rather than us reading the text. Does that make sense? Often the way in which we engage the Bible is to get stuff out of it. Like, what's the context? What's going on in the first century? Really good stuff. I really dig that. I geek out over that stuff. But what's often missing in our devotional life is giving the text access to read us. We feel like in many ways we need to conquer it and solve it and figure it out and sort it. It's a puzzle, mystery, all that stuff. And that's great. But what can be missing in the devotional life, and I think a lot of people that have sort of checked out from reading scripture, is giving the text permission to meet you where you are and to kind of poke around your soul a little bit. And there's a way of devotionally reading the text that come from the Benedictines. It's called the Lectio Divina. How many of you have heard of that before? Just raise of hands. Our community is, many of you are well-versed in this sort of path. And it's just another thing to put in your tool belt in terms of engaging scripture in a way that that meets you, where you give permission to the Holy Spirit to move through the scripture and speak into your life. And so I have this teaching today, and it's about it's about the heart, and it's about rocks, and it's about a California hippie. But we're gonna do that next week. And we're gonna allow ourselves to hear this same text, and then next week, hopefully we can come in with all of this stuff that we've already been sitting with in our own life, and it'll add even greater value into what that means. So we're in a series called Resurrection Culture. And we're asking, what does it mean for Easter not just to be like a Sunday of the year? Like, what does it mean for the resurrection of Jesus? If that happened, and if that's going to happen in the future, what does the fact that it happened and it will happen mean for the happening of everyday life? What possibilities does that open up for me? What does that sort of open to life where things have been closed or shut or sort of like turned down, where we feel like if the resurrection of Jesus is the hinge point on which human history has turned and new creation has begun, how does that speak into all the little deaths of my life that I feel like are crippling, that I feel like there's just no life there anymore, or whatever that might mean for you? And so what we want to do for the next few weeks is look at some narratives in the Bible of people that experienced the resurrected Jesus, and to say, what are the things that were happening to and in them that led them to a life of power? that led them to a life of conviction, that led them to a life of call, where they started to see things once again become possible. And so we just want to glean from their lives. And so we're going to look into that more deeply next week in terms of the teaching. But today we're going to look into it in terms of experience. Aaron Nyquist is a really great friend of mine. I got to know him years ago when I was living in another state. And he and I were sort of like in the same place at the same time, discovering a practice-centered faith. That many of us grew up in sort of like an attendance-centered faith or a preaching-centered faith, where most of our faith was dependent on someone telling us what the Bible means, or that it's about ideas or whatever. And some of that stuff's really real and true and beautiful and good. But there's a sense of what I think happens in the Christian life over the course of time, where we get introduced to a kind of practice throughout life, where we show up with God and give the Holy Spirit permission to move through us. In other words, Christianity is just bigger than our ideas. It includes our whole bodies. It includes our whole lives. It includes us figuring out how to order our lives in such a way where we can encounter this living God on a daily basis through stillness and rest, through breakthrough and conversations and community, through the table, which is one of the reasons why we have the table every week, that we would embody our faith and our story and not just talk about it, right? And so so let's do that. Let's move into this thing called Lectio Divina. What I want to do is dim the lights, not to be creepy, but to move into a place to say, let's take our inward direction seriously, that the Holy Spirit lives in you. And that God speaks to you. Historically, Christians have believed and experienced God speaking through the text every single time they hear it. I think one of the issues, you know, when Aaron was teaching us that body prayer, what he was doing was moving us and removing layer by layer all of the things that we construct, all the scaffolding, all of the layers that don't actually give us access into what we really are wrestling with, the trauma, the depression, the anxiety, the stress, the dreams, the longings. Instead, we can sort of live our life and our culture from the shallows, just moving from one thing to the next, to the next. And even the Bible and even church and even all these good things can just become more noise. And so this form of reading, what it does is it introduces you to a practice of how you can peel back the onion of your life, layer by layer. And so what we do is we start with a simple read. I'm going to read this three times. If you have your Bibles, don't open them. I'm going to read it over us. We're going to just bring up some music to sort of dull some of the ambient noises in the room. And the reason I'm going to read it over us is to remind us that the early Christians heard the word of the Lord. They didn't have copy machines. They didn't have scrolls for everybody. They would pass around these letters from city to city to bind them together, to hear the word of the Lord, to train their ears to attune to God's voice, and to give the Spirit permission to poke around and to individually speak. We're all in different places of our journey, to speak into our journey where we are this morning. And so that's what we want to do. Is that okay? Are we up for that? We good? Just breathe. Life can be exhausting, busy, rushed. If there's a place to practice the faith, surely it's the local church. So let's practice slowing down today and giving God permission to speak to us. I'm going to read this over us. Don't try to figure the text out. Just let it hover in the atmosphere and begin to allow it to peel back and to go deeper and deeper with each read. Mark 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary Mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Do not be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into the Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." So if the first direction is to read, the second is to move into a space where you can reflect. I'm going to read it one more time. And as I read this slowly, I just want you to maybe pause on a word or a phrase, maybe something that's particular to you that sticks out in the text. And just name that word, just name that phrase for you, and just be aware of it as you're going sort of peeling layer by layer back. Read it one more time. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they may go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So as you reflect on that one word or phrase or something that's just peculiar that may have something to do with life today, here's what I want you to do. There's actually paper and pencils at the Bible stations back there if you need that, or if you have a phone or a device, or if you just want to record in your own heart and mind. Let's just move into a time where you can record something. You can think, the text has been read. I've given it time to marinate. And then I've named a reflection of something in that text that comes up for me. It's not pulling me back to the first century, but it's rushing the first century into my life and speaking. And now record. What's coming up for you? It may be something that's not even... The text got you to another word that got you to another place that now you're thinking about this and that's what God has for you. But just spend a few minutes and just record what's coming up for you, whether it's within and you just want to name that, or whether you want to get it out on paper or put that into a note section on your phone. Just spend a few moments recording what's coming up for you, naming, writing, chasing that thought just a little bit. Sometimes I'll take these moments every morning and I'll just create a prayer that I feel like God wants me to pray. I'm sure many of you could go on and spill a bunch of ink on a bunch of pages right now. I think one of the elephants in every church is that it's really hard to read the Bible. And it's easy to feel like you're so far from it. I think one of the things this practice has helped me for every single day is it's, for those of you that might feel estranged from Scripture, this has really been a really life-giving practice for me to move back into seeking the presence of God through the Scripture once again. And often I'll do this through the gospel reading every day, which we have in the back on those sheets, those communication sheets. We give a Bible reading plan. And I follow that, and I just allow the Spirit to move in my morning because I need to hear from God every day. And maybe that's where you are. And this is a really simple way to journal, to write, to allow the text to be read and to read you, to get it on paper. And what happens when you get it on paper is that you don't have to carry it anymore. What happens for me a lot is I get my anxieties out, my fears, and the insecurities, my convictions, my dreams, and my frustrations. I love the Psalms because it tells us, if not anything else, that God can handle your frustrations. It's okay. And what happens is you can then close that journal and know that God heard that. And that you can look at it out here, that all these things I've been writing, they're not me. My identity is deeper than that. I'm beloved. That these things have been expressed. God's heard them. I can close that now and rest. What often gets in my way every single morning from rest and entering into my day is all the anxieties I have about the day and the calendar items and all that stuff. And when it can come out on paper, I can then look at it, close it, and be. And so to close this time, I just want us to be. You've written some stuff down. You've thought about some reflections. You don't have to carry it anymore. You can now just be and rest in the presence. That's part of resurrection culture, is to create a culture in your own soul that acknowledges He's risen. And He's not there, He's here, and He's speaking. And so let's rest. Maybe attach a word, connect it to your breathing. Sometimes that distracts the mind long enough so you can just be and you're not chasing all these trails the mystics call monkey mind. All these things just flood. And just being and breathing and connecting a word with your inhale and exhale and just being in life. So let's do that for the next couple minutes.